Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning the causes of suffering. And this was due to the recent tragedies that we read about in the news or watch on TV. And of course, we want to continue to pray for the families that have lost loved ones and are concerned about those missing, the loss of homes and all the property that went with the wildfires. So we want to be of assistance as we can to our fellow countrymen. But tragedies like this bring to the forefront the age-old question, and that is the atheist main argument: why would a good and all-powerful God allow suffering and evil to exist? And the answer to that question is very simple. 1 John 4:8, God is love, and therefore God allows us to choose to do His will or to refuse to do His will. We're not puppets on a string. We have life. And in order to have life, we have to have that choice. And when we choose to do that which is evil, yes, there's going to be evil in the world because we're not doing the will of God and we're sinning against God. And that's going to bring about suffering as well. So last Lord's Day, we started in our study of the causes of suffering with the fact that living in a sinful world, yes, causes suffering. And number two, God working in the lives of His children, that too causes suffering, as we dealt with those last Lord's Day. So we want to continue this study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we use those initials to remind us of the most important thing we could be doing, and the name of our radio program is Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then we come together to worship God, striving to do so in spirit and in truth, and that would be with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. I can assure you of that. And something else we want to mention, if you would like to study the Bible together, please let us know. We'll set up a time at your convenience. We're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated as well. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study as we're looking at the causes of suffering. And this would be number three, and that would be transition from this life to the next. Yes, that causes suffering, does it not? Notice, as we studied several weeks ago from John chapter 11, with the death of Lazarus, and notice the reaction of Jesus when Mary, the sister of Martha, came to Him, as they were sisters of Lazarus. Notice John 11:33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus was concerned at what sin had brought into the world. Yes, death. He wasn't weeping over the actual death of Lazarus, knowing that He was fixing to raise him from the dead, but Certainly he had compassion on those present, as well as having this concern of what sin has brought into the world. Notice with me now 1 Corinthians 15, 54 and 50 through 57, the great resurrection chapter. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Note that. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all should understand death has a sting. How many of us have lost someone very close to us? A spouse, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers, sisters, and brothers and sisters in Christ, and children. What a great loss that is. Yes, death has a sting. And death came into the world as a consequence of sin and is coming to all of us unless Christ comes again in our lifetime. We die, yes, physically, because we no longer, man does not have access to the tree of life. It's gone. After Adam and Eve sinned, they were cast out of the garden. They were cast out of paradise and lost access to the tree of life, and they died spiritually immediately and later died physically, as we know. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Well, that refutes those that believe in reincarnation, doesn't it? But let's go on. As we're all affected by the death of loved ones, we're affected by our fellow countrymen who died in Maui. We're affected by foreign people in countries where we may have had conflicts with. But we should be concerned when people die lost in their sins, should we not? And of course, we're all understanding how many disasters all over the world have killed countless people. So that should, of course, sting. Now, here's the point that we need to emphasize. Let us be sure that we are prepared to die, because any of us could die at any time. Notice Amos 4:12, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Well, that would apply to us today as well. Prepare to meet thy God. All of us need to do that. Philippians 1 in the New Testament, verses 21 through 24, Paul, by inspiration, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Do we have that attitude? We should. But let's go on now, number four in our study of causes of suffering. Refusing to obey the gracious invitation of the Lord definitely causes suffering. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants everyone to be saved. Now, when our fellow man rejects the gospel, doesn't that cause us pain? It should, especially with family and friends, co-workers, neighbors, excuse me, those that we're around the most. When they refuse to obey the gospel of Christ, that should cause us pain. That's a cause of suffering. Paul suffered greatly as he was concerned about his kinsmen. Notice Romans 9, 1 through 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And notice what Paul said in verse 3 is difficult for me to comprehend. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. I don't want to have, say that I could be accursed from Christ. But Paul was concerned about his kinsmen to that point. And that tells us again that suffering is certainly the case with the concern we have for those who are rejecting Christ. Jesus suffered in the flesh over ignorance of the truth. Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Yes. Is not God grieved because of so many lost souls refusing to obey the gospel of Christ today? That's right. Now, excuse me, we need to ask this question. What will suffering be like in eternity? Well, this is from the Bible, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Without God's presence, that's what hell will be like. No love, no light, no joy, no comfort, no harmony, no beauty. Do we get the picture? This is eternity for those who refused to obey the gospel and refused to remain faithful. That's right. And think about being with Satan and his followers for eternity. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verses 14 and 15, still in Revelation 20, and death and hell, this would be Hades, the place of torment, Tartarus, were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's hell. It's not my purpose to scare someone into obeying the gospel of Christ without being motivated by the love of God. Of course not. But to be a faithful gospel preacher, I must preach the goodness and the severity of God. Romans 11:22. I need to preach the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:27, as Paul did. So, if we die in a lost state, we will suffer eternally, not because God is unjust, but because we made the choice to disobey God. That's the bottom line. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth," where? "To destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." That's the majority. "Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So are we of the few or of the many? And we will have no one to blame but ourselves if we end up lost. Romans 1, 20 and going through 22, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Those that teach and believe evolution is a fact, their imagination has been darkened. It's vain thinking. And to think such things, that we evolved from lower species, is to believe a lie. You see, that's an example of "became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened." But they won't have an excuse on the day of judgment. And no one who did not obey the gospel, and those that obeyed the gospel but became unfaithful, what excuse could they give? Notice, I didn't finish the verse, did I? "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." That's right. That's what the Bible says. They may think they're smart, degrees, you know, and all these accolades, but you deny God and you believe that we evolved from lower species, then what does the Bible say? They became fools. So we need to emphasize, hell will not be a place of reformation. No, sir. It will be a place of damnation. John 5, 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There won't be any reforming done in eternal hell. It's punishment. It's suffering. As we're studying the causes of suffering. Excuse me. Now, we know many causes of suffering, as we've covered these four. But some suffering we may not know the cause. And what about that, for which we do not know the cause? Well, there is probably not a better reaction to suffering for which we do not understand than that of the attitude of Job. Notice the question that Satan asked God. "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Job 1:9. Remember, Satan accused Job of worshiping God and being faithful only because he's so blessed by God. Well, in doing so, Satan was actually accusing God of not being worthy of Job's faithfulness. Verse 10 of chapter 1. But as we study the book of Job, and what a great study it is, excuse me, Job was faithful to God, because he trusted God no matter what happened to him. Job 13:15. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him." Note that again. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. And Job did. He said some things out of line, we know that, and God called him on the carpet, so to speak, as we study that part of the book. But he was blessed in the end, was he not? Job was. Now, Job believed in the coming of Christ, we need to note this, and the resurrection of the dead. Job 19:25-27, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." What a statement Job made. Paul, he had the right attitude about suffering. In the New Testament, we note 2 Corinthians 12:10, after Paul had prayed to have his thorn removed in the flesh, three times he did, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And Paul reacted, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Verse 10 of 2 Corinthians 12. Philippians 4:11-14. Again, the Apostle Paul by inspiration. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." They were helping Paul while he was in prison, in chains. 1 Corinthians 10:13, another letter of the inspired Apostle Paul. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And the Apostle Peter, by inspiration, gives us the formula for having the right attitude when we suffer for being a faithful Christian. 1 Peter 3:13-14. "And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." That's the formula right there. So we know if we live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution. Now, as we've studied the main causes of suffering, let's go over it again. Living in a sinful world, God working in the lives of His children, transition from this life to the next, refusing to obey the gracious invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we mentioned, we may not know the cause of some suffering. As we've seen, we can know a lot of it, but some we may not. But we need to be like Job. He didn't know why he was suffering the way he was. His friends were accusing him of sinning so great, his wife suggested he curse God and die. Thankfully, he did not do such a thing as she suggested. You can see why Satan left her. But the point is, we may not know what's going on behind the scenes. Satan could be accusing us. But as we have a better understanding about the causes of suffering, it should help us to overcome the trials and tribulations and persecutions, the temptations that we face as Christians. And this would enable us, you see, to help others. As things are happening today, as so much injustice, division, suffering, yes, and many are questioning, doubting, and even blaming God because of suffering. And we need to be able to help them to see that God is love. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life, not being punished in hell for eternity. You see, we have the choice. And something else we must never forget. Jesus suffered for us, and He certainly is our example to follow. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how it starts. Romans 10:17. Now, as we study the word of God and we believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, that's the next step, to believe. "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Now, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated, ready to repent. That is, we're changing our will. We're going to do God's will, turn away from a sinful life, and submit to the gospel of Christ. As we know in Acts 17:30, and certainly Luke 13:3-5, we must repent. After repenting, we're ready to make the good confession. That is, we're going to state that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And confession is made unto salvation. So we're not there yet, but we're getting closer. Romans 10:9-10. Now, we're ready to be baptized for the purpose of remission of our sins, that is, forgiveness of our sins, by contacting the precious blood of Christ. As Ananias told Saul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins," calling upon the name of the Lord, submitting to His authority. To wash away one's sins is to contact the blood of Christ in the watery grave of baptism. As you see in Romans 6:3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death?" So that's when we contact His precious blood that was shed in His death. John 19:32-34 in there. So let's submit to the will of God and have salvation. And even though we suffer, we'll be able to endure. And we thank You so much for listening today.